Pat Steinberg, Ryan Pinder, and now Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joins. This is time for the daily Calgary Flames roundtable. So, gentlemen, starting with you, Mr. Wills, who should start tomorrow night in St. Louis in net?
Mike Smith. He's coming off his best game of the season. Another 43-save shutout, which, strangely enough, came exactly 1 year after he had a 43-save shutout against the Ducks in Anaheim, which was the single-game record for most saves in a shutout by a Flames goaltender. So he tied his own record a year later. So I'd stick with him and ride him while he's hot.
Was that the game where they finally broke the Anaheim streak?
Sure was.
Yep, sure was.
Derek?
Yeah, that was
okay,
that was
no, sorry.
Night.
Wow, okay. Well, that's pretty neat. I'm going to go with a little bit of history as well, but from the other side. David Rittich picked up his first victory in late November, I want to say, last year in Denver, Colorado, a place that was one of the tougher buildings in the NHL to win in last year. And I think that's a perfect landing spot for him, which means I'm in agreement with you 100%. I do want them to start Rittich on this trip, even if Smith hangs a second consecutive shutout. But if you're going to flip-flop two starts based on Smith was going to start two, Rittich was going to start one, I have no problem with them doing that adjustment, if indeed that is what's gone on here.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, guys, is watching practice today, there was a third goaltender, a mystery goaltender on the ice at Enterprise Center. I'm looking, I'm like, who is that? It, like, small, so I knew it wasn't one of the other goaltenders in the Flames system. Turned out the guy's name was Tyler Stewart, and he is the emergency backup here in St. Louis. So I asked Bill Peters about it after practice, and what he said was that it's just a way for them to manage Mike Smith's time on ice. And you know, where there are different ways to manage your goaltender and how much hockey he's playing. One is to start the backup more often, which I think the Flames are going to try to do this season. But another is to, you know, not put him through the paces at practice, at least from start to finish every single day. So they had a third goaltender out there, and Smith was kind of picking and choosing what drills he was taking part in. And then near the end of practice, before he left and he was the first guy off the ice, and practice kind of continued without him. But Smith had a long conversation with the head coach, Bill Peters, and the goaltending coach, Jordan Sigalette. So I'm guessing they were discussing the game plan for tomorrow and for Saturday. My guess, Smith's back in.
I'm a big proponent, guys, of if you get a shutout, you go back in regardless of the plan. But I do think that it can't be totally scrapping the plan to get David Rittich an early start, because I think you need to get him in, and I think you need to play him in the early stages this season so that you're not waiting too long before he gets in. So if that means that Smith goes tomorrow and then Rittich on Saturday, and your point about him winning in Colorado is a very good one, Rye, then I'm totally cool with that. But if they're going to scrap starting Rittich altogether, I would be more opposed to that. And Derek, it's funny because we've had these conversations, and you know, it was your belief that it was your opinion rather that start Smith the first seven games of the year. There's no reason to get Rittich in because of the workload, and it made sense. It was very well thought out. But they're going to go with Rittich, we think, at some point on this road trip. Should they? Are you still of the belief that, you know, having Smith in for those first seven games is the way to go?
I mean, I don't have a really strong opinion one way or the other. I just think that, you know, from the end of the preseason through the first seven regular season games, there's 21 days, seven games in 21 days. So it's not a really tough schedule. It's not a busy schedule. And it's a schedule that doesn't have any back-to-backs or 3-4s or anything that would make it tough for Mike Smith to, you know, start all seven of those games. But it does look like they want to get David Rittich a start and maybe give him a look, because he struggled through most of the preseason. But every 2 points matter. I don't care if they're in October or if they're in April. 2 points are 2 points. The Flames got off to a decent start last season. They were 3-1, but then it kind of fell off, and they found themselves chasing for a good chunk of the season. So you want to try to avoid that this season if you can. I think Mike Smith still gives you the best chance to win, but I also think that they do have to manage him a little bit better this season. Last year, because the team wasn't playing well in front of him, I think they had to really lean on him, and they leaned on him too heavily, and it probably caught up to him and caught up to the team because they did that early in the season. This year, they've got a better group in front of them. I don't think there's any doubt about that. At least there's not in my mind. They've got a way deeper team in front of their goaltenders this year, so that should give them the opportunity to start David Rittich more often, and know that with the team he's got in front of him, they're still going to have a chance to win hockey games.
Quick follow-up, and it could be a yes or no answer from both of you, because I'm curious, and I don't know how I feel about it myself. If Mike Smith goes tomorrow and isn't great, the next time he gets a shutout, do you automatically say he's got to go in after a shutout? Like, is that a firmly held belief for you guys, or is it, does it change if he comes out and he doesn't play well tomorrow?
Willsey?
Well, yeah, for me, I mean, I get the whole goaltenders want to go back in after they have a shutout, but here's the flip side of that. If Mike Smith hadn't played well last night, he'd want to be back in there tomorrow night. He'd want a chance to redeem himself. The bottom line is he wants to play 82 games, and he can't.
Right.
So you're going to have to take him out sooner or later, whether that's coming off a win or a shutout win or a loss. I think it's important to kind of stick to the plan, but he played so well last night and was so in the zone and just looked like the elite goaltender that he was for most of the first half of last season, I would really be tempted to go back to him. And then if you want to go with David Rittich against the Avalanche on Saturday, he's got a good history in that building. He's been practicing well. He's looked sharp in practice. So I think that'd be a pretty good plan for the rest of the trip.
Well, and for me, it comes down to I am the proponent. If you get the shutout, you go back in. And most situations, my answer would be yes, Ryan. And in this situation, I definitely would be. Now, we'll see what he does against St. Louis tomorrow, if indeed he does start. And the reason, I think there are two reasons why you've got to get Rittich in early. A, because you can't wait until the end of October for him to get his first action. I think that sets things up poorly. And B, because I think you have to set the plan in motion immediately to get Smith's workload down. And yeah, you know what? Taking away some of his practice time, that's part of it. But I also don't think he can be on pace for 65 starts like he was last year. He was
on pace for
70.
Yeah.
You know, so that can't be the case. It's going to have to be Rittich in net every two or three, like, once every three or four games, you're going to have to get David Rittich in there if you're going to get Mike Smith's workload down. It's not going to have, it's not like every fourth game you put Rittich in, but it has to work out to that over the course of a season. So that's where I am. I think it's good that they're most likely going to go to David Rittich at some point on this road trip. I think that's really important. He's Derek Wills. He's Ryan Pinder. I'm Pat Steinberg. Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable coming at you, as it always does, to kick off the 4 o'clock hour on Pinder and Steinberg. Okay. Big topic on overtime last night. I know that we both Ryan and I have got a question or a topic we want to throw out about Flames forwards. I'll throw out the one on James Neal. Derek, a lot of people calling last night about where the best place is to use Neal. One assist in three games. I haven't loved him on that third line. And a lot of people wonder, well, you sign him for 5 years and almost $6 million per. Did you really sign him to have him on your third line? And I understand that, but I also look at how well the backline line is playing and obviously how well Lindholm has fit in with Monahan and Gaudreau. I don't really feel like you need to change a whole lot right now, but then you've got a almost $6 million man in James Neal who's sitting there on a third line and not getting a ton of scoring opportunity. So I ask you straight up, what do you do with James Neal right now?
Man, that's, I guess, the $6 million question. He had a long
$5.75 million question.
Yeah. He had a long chat with Bill Peters at the end of today's practice here in St. Louis. Quite frankly, guys, I don't think James Neal's been good enough. Not in the preseason when you could give him a pass because he's, you know, in his 11th NHL season and he's a proven veteran and a lot of veterans are given way less than 100% during the preseason, so I wasn't really going to hold that against him. But, you know, he was also with a new team. So usually you want to try to impress your general manager and your head coach and your teammates, and I don't think he was overly impressive in the preseason, and I don't think he's been very good in the regular season. So maybe they're going to make him earn it. I mean, right now you're not touching that top line. Sean Monahan with Johnny Gaudreau and Elias Lindholm is probably one of the best lines in the NHL right now. Maybe I'm taking that a bit too far, but they do have 14 points between them in the last two hockey games. Those three guys have been outstanding together. So you're not touching that line. I guess if you did want to move him up, you could swap him and Austin Zarnik, but I like Austin Zarnik on that second line. And I really think that Michael Backlund has been an absolute beast, especially in the last two games. And how he doesn't have points is beyond me. I think he's been fantastic. And I chatted with him today after practice and I said, do you feel a little bit snake-bitten? And he kind of laughed and said, yes. But he has been snake-bitten. He's played really well. And Matthew Tkachuk, I mean, I don't say enough good things about him probably. And that's with me saying good things about him every single day. He's just such an outstanding player. But, you know, I've liked that line as well. So I would make James Neal earn it. I thought that third line was more effective last night. but more because Dylan Dubé and Sam Bennett, I think, made the most of the ice time. It was less about James Neal, although that third line does kind of intrigue me because sometimes the puck dies on Sam Bennett's stick because he's trying to do everything himself. I just kind of wonder, guys, if you are playing with James Neal, a guy who has scored 21 or more goals in all 10 of his NHL seasons. He's a veteran who's been to the last two Stanley Cup finals. If you're Sam Bennett, maybe you start to defer to him a little bit and try to make some plays and get him the puck. So I think playing with Neal could be a good thing for Bennett. And hopefully Dubé, he is good to go tomorrow because he didn't practice today. And I'm not necessarily buying that a rookie who's played three NHL games is getting a maintenance day three games into the regular season. I think he's a little bit banged up. So if Dubé can go tomorrow, I'd probably take another look at that Bennett line with Neal on the other side and see if they can get something going so I could leave my top two lines intact.
All right, let's stay with Sam Bennett. Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts came out today, and topic number one of 31 was potential suitors for Sam Bennett. You look at his career trajectory, Derek, and the kind of hype. I mean, he was the number one ranked player in Central Scouting his draft year, and that doesn't mean anything now that he's in the NHL, but what it means is a lot of teams were in love with this guy not that long ago. What are your thoughts on the change of scenery candidate being Sam Bennett? I mean, he does look like that type of guy where if he landed in a different spot, maybe things would go better for him.
Yeah, but I mean, he's on his third different coach with the same organization.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
I think there's as good a chance that he gets things going under Bill Peters as if he were to move to another organization and then play for a fourth head coach in his NHL career. So I would probably sit on Sam Bennett right now unless someone absolutely blew my socks off. But I'll say this. There seems to be a little smoke there with Sam Bennett, doesn't it? Because yep. Elliot Friedman generally doesn't throw things like that out. And it's not the first time that Elliot has kind of put Sam Bennett's name out there. I do think that teams continue to call on him. But I also think they're trying to buy low. And if I'm yep. Brad Treleving, I'm not selling low on Sam Bennett. I either want to get someone else's Sam Bennett, a guy who was a high draft pick and a top prospect at one point in time who maybe hasn't worked with another team. If you can make that kind of trade, kind of like the one that the Canadiens and the Coyotes made, Alex Galchenyuk for Max Domi. So if you can make that kind of deal, I would consider it. But if someone's offering you next to nothing for Sam Bennett, I'm not making that trade. I'm going to see if it works out for him with Bill Peters a little bit better than it did under Glenn Gullitson. Because, you know what, when you look back to his first season, guys, 18 goals, 36 points playing for Bob Hartley. So maybe a new coach will get him going.
Here's where I am on Bennett. I am not ready to just trade him for a song. I'm not going out and looking to move him just to get rid of him. That doesn't make any sense. We're still talking about a 21, 22-year-old forward who's in his fourth NHL season. But at the same time, he is by no means untouchable on my list. If there is a package that works for my team and makes my team better and Bennett's a part of it, then yeah, I'm absolutely willing to move him. He is not on anywhere near the top of my I won't trade list at this point. I do think he's expendable, but I don't think that you are also actively trying to move him out because it's not working. When it comes down to it, guys, I think you have to, at this point, separate Bennett from the fact he was a fourth overall selection. Yeah, you know what? He went fourth overall in 2014, and we were all excited about it. But right now, he's not a fourth overall pick. Right now, in the NHL, he's a bottom six forward. And maybe he does turn into a top six forward down the road. Maybe he doesn't. But you have to look at him for what he is. And right now, he is not a guy who has earned his opportunity to be a regular top six forward in this league. So when you're talking about what he is as a trade chip, I think that's why teams are buying low on him. Yep. or would be selling low on him, Derek, because you're looking at a guy who's a bottom six forward right now, and you're not going to go out of your way to bring that into your organization and do it at a high price. So that's where I think the most important thing when it comes to Bennett is separate his draft position from what he is right now.
I'll say this.
It's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, Ryan, it absolutely. If you're Sam Bennett, I think it's hard to separate yourself from being the fourth overall pick and the highest pick in Flames franchise history.
Yeah. No, you're right, and it's expectations are a thing. We talked about it all last season. Mm-hmm. That's if this was a guy taken in the sixth round, I'm sure he doesn't feel the pressure that he does internally, never mind externally. One thing that will occur, guys, every single team, whether they're heading to the playoffs or they think they are or they look almost perfect, tends to add at the deadline. This organization, I think, would be very, very weary hesitant to move a top pick. This might be the best chip they have to move at the deadline. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but don't think that it's not something that will be bouncing around on the back burner here, because I don't think they want to go another year without a first rounder or another year without a second rounder, because they're already going into this year's draft without their second rounder and last year's.
Yeah.
Well, just to play devil's advocate, Ryan, this team is in win-now mode, in my opinion. Do they have to win this year? No. But with all of the moves they made during the offseason, they want to win now. Whether winning means getting to the playoffs or winning a round or two or three or four, I guess depends on who you ask. And when has Sam Bennett played his best hockey?
Well, playoffs, I guess, but they're, I mean, his best hockey was,
So do you want to move a guy who's been at his best when the games get hardest right before the playoffs? I'm not sure I'd make that move. I mean, a lot can happen between now and the trade deadline, whenever it is at the end of February or the start of March. So we could be having a completely different conversation when that time rolls around. And the Flames do have depth. So, you know, if they were to move some of that depth to either help themselves now or help themselves down the road with picks and prospects, it wouldn't completely surprise me, because they do have seem to have too many NHLers to fit on the roster right now. But Sam Bennett is a guy who I'm not moving unless someone really gives me a good package or a good player back. So we'll see what they do, but there does seem to be some smoke there, so we'll see if there's some fire with these rumors that are floating around.
All right, Derek, we will talk to you tomorrow from St. Louis once again. Enjoy your night off, and we got game day tomorrow from the Scott Trade Center. Good stuff, buddy.
All right, guys, have a good night.